Hey, what's up? Welcome to Married Life. This is Joe. Hey, this is going to be a podcast that is a recording from our last small group that we do at Vivid Church. If you want to join us live, it's every Tuesday night in person and on Zoom. I'm going to put a link to the bottom or a link to Zoom on the bottom. It's at 6:30 Pacific time. But what we're talking about this time, we're talking about the blueprints of marriage, and we're talking about how you want to build the right team for marriage. Now, that's just not your spouse. Those are the people that you let in your lives. We're going to talk about what it looks like to clear the property when you're about to build, and getting ready to prepare the foundation. And then we're going to talk about pouring the foundation. What does that foundation marriage look like? So it's going to be a good one. We're excited to have you here. Welcome to The Married Life.
We're going to continue and just talk about more things that we think should be included in your blueprints of your marriage. And it's going to be a little bit shorter. We really want to hear from you guys. But then there's more questions for you guys to just discuss together, because that's the whole point. So for you guys, and you guys that weren't here last week, the whole goal of the end of this small group is that you guys can go through all of these questions and kind of, there's going to be a theme. You guys will start to see a theme of things that you guys are talking about, what's important to you, and all that kind of stuff. And at the end, we talked about vision statements and mission statements that companies have, but why don't we have one for our own marriage? And so the goal at the end of this small group is to have a mission statement and a vision for your marriage written down, plain as day. This is the direction we're going, and all that kind of stuff. Cool?
And what's helpful for that too is, like, as things get hard, as things come up, because sometimes there's opportunities that come up and it's like, oh, is this the Lord? Is this just, is it us? Is it, you know, it helps to know, like, okay, we have a North Star that we're both in alignment with and pointed at. And so you can always go back to that as opportunities come up. Does this align with the vision that God's given us for our family?
Yeah. Yep. It helps you to say no easier to things. She said, it's okay. So we're just going to talk about a couple more things this week.
And just so you guys know too, like, the way that we want Vivid small groups to go is that really it should be 30% like a conversation or talking, like for me and Pastor Chrissy, but then 70% actual conversation. And so that's why even tonight we want to start later. We want people to get to know each other, because we get enough content all the time. You know, YouTube, podcast, Sunday sermon, like, we need healthy relationships. And so even if you guys are like, wow, that teaching wasn't that long tonight, it's like, community matters.
Yeah,
so
that's important.
We want to give you nuggets and things to chew on and talk with your spouse, but also, like, Antonio, that was a great idea to ask what hobbies were, because there were so many connections just made through that. Yeah. You know,
instant, like, friends.
Yeah, like, okay, uh-huh. We can hang out.
Yeah. You're up first, though. You go.
With what?
With that.
Oh, the first question?
Yeah, well, the first content. I mean, I can do content. I'll go first. All right. Just do it. So when you're building a house, has anybody built a house? You guys just buy them. You don't build them. Yeah. You guys have built a house. Oh. No. You guys don't build houses in California, do you?
What's
that? You guys don't do that.
Right.
No, they're like just already
there's
here.
No room. That's it.
Yeah. You buy and renovate.
That's okay. Well, we'll go with renovate. It's going to be the... So when you renovate, we'll go there. You need a team, right? You need people that know what they're doing. You need plumbers. You need construction. Very loose term. And so this is what I'm going to give you the real part of this, and then, like, how it applies to marriage. So one of the most important decisions in building a home of your dreams is choosing the right team that you want to build. There's experts in many different areas, and it's important to choose the ones that you get that will get you the best results. It's the same thing in your marriage. Have you guys ever heard the saying, you are who you hang out with? The top five relationships that you have, that is who you are. So look at the people around you. If you want, like, an unbiased opinion of who you are, look at those people. And it's the same thing with your marriage. Do you want a good marriage? Then hang out with people who have good marriages. Mm-hmm. It's gonna naturally build yours up, right? You're not gonna know it, you're not gonna realize it, but it's gonna naturally do it because of that law. And so, but it's not just relationships, it's your support system. Who's coming together? Who's supporting your marriage? Do you see a counselor? What are your guys' thoughts on counselors? not rhetorical. What's your guys' thoughts? You guys like them? Are you for them?
We like them. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would.
Yeah. They're great. They're expensive. Great opinion.
Well, they're a lot less expensive than divorce.
Yes, they are.
That's yeah. good. That's a good nugget.
It's so true. And so who are we surrounding ourselves with? What support system do we have before crap hits the fan?
Yep.
Right? We don't want to wait. Like we since being out here, we knew that being a lead pastor is a whole new ball game for us. And so we just started seeing a counselor. Nothing was wrong. We just started talking to Judy. Mm-hmm. Judy's awesome.
She is. So if anyone needs a counselor, we have a referral for you.
She's great. She's a Christian and she is awesome. And so, yeah. What are your guys' thoughts on like thinking about the five people that are around you? You don't have to say names. I mean, not that we know them.
I can start for us. We really don't have any, like, couple friends at all. We have been back and forth between, like, Menifee, which is, like, Riverside County, and Orange County. He's always been busy with work, so we've never really had time or, like, you know, to kind of, like, get to meet other people and most of all, like, meeting, like, people that are believers as well and, like, think alike is, like, very, like, important to us because we don't want to hang out with people that obviously are and like, hey, you're going party, well, we don't do that.
Right.
You know? So it's like also the kids. So yeah, we've never really like met other believers or like had friendships. So this is a reason why we joined.
We did at one point when we were, I think, fresh off the marriage and figures. We were attending church full time. And then obviously my job got in a little bit towards like years into the job, that's where the distractions happened, right? The job kept you away from church, and then that's when you kind of like lose everything. But so doing this is awesome, right? Because we used to,
yeah.
But we're always, yeah. Again, this was like 7 years ago, so
yeah,
it's been a while, wow. So for sure,
yeah,
it's needed for
yeah.
sure.
Very yeah. long, that's what I'm like.
So you're like, oh, look, he checks off all the things.
All the things.
Like, that just, like, totally, like you know, because then we moved out there, and then that was, like, back and forth, so.
Yeah.
During that whole time, we weren't connected to an actual church. It's just always been, like, online when I found Vlad. Like, then it was, like, consistent watching Pastor Vlad, and then, I don't know, God is great, because then I got one of my friends sent me their church, and I was like, oh, like, they're going to open here. We happened to move to Brea, and they were barely going to open in Brea, so God knows why. I was like, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. Check, so check. Here we are. Anybody else?
Well, I think as of, like, recently, I mean, since coming to David, like, our lives have, like, radically changed, and I think that is part of, like, what you guys are saying, like, who we're surrounded by now. Because, really, I mean, we spend most of our time with you two. Really, like, that, and, I mean, that's how it was at our other church. Like, we were there, like, 3-4 times a week. So now we've shifted that with you guys. And we, like, if we're planning, if we're hanging out, watch football, whatever it is, like, we're just, like, learning so much from you guys. And, I mean, you guys know Julie, and that's one of our really close friends, and we've learned a lot from her. And I mean, so just like those like few friends that we truly have, I think like so far it's been solid, like, but yeah. It wasn't like that before. Mm. I would say like just this year, like the beginning of this year, it's like it's really,
that's good,
something switched for sure, so.
That's good, that's awesome. Anybody else? You don't have to share, just thoughts.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, there he is.
You want to say more? Yeah, we hear you.
Keep going. I agree. All right.
No, I say, yeah, I believe the same thing, you know, like, we are supposed to hang around with people of like minds, people who can help us grow and mature and hold us accountable, and we're able to be comfortable with those individuals and be transparent with those people. I do believe that if you hang out with the wrong type of people, just from, you know, growing up, and that, you know, you do change into those type of, I'd say, you do adopt their character traits, and you do, like, acclimate to their environment, and according
yeah.
to your kind of, you know, going
so
down the wrong
true.
Path. So it's important for us to stay true to, you know, the people that we stay around, we live with, talk with, and like just be around, because either they're gonna pull us away from Christ, or
Yeah.
Push us towards it.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, John Maxwell, he's a Christian leadership dude. He was a pastor. Now his main thing is really leadership. And he says you can either soar with the eagles or you can walk with the turkeys. And it's up to you. We're the ones who decide who is around us, you know? Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean that we just shut out people that are like, oh, they're not going to invest in us, because God might have us in their lives to invest in them.
Right.
And so that's where we, again, like things like this, it's maturing us so we can share that same thing with others and see them getting matured.
So that's the whole point of this question, is for you guys to really self-evaluate your close relationships. Is this good? Is this not good? Why do we keep them? Like, are they just totally toxic? They're like, we need to not hang out with them. And here's the thing, and here's the hard part. Family. It's rough.
Say it again.
Family. I love my family. I have always tried to minister to my family. My sister actually just got saved after moving out here. Which I'm like, what the heck? And now we have like the best relationship. But like, my kids don't stay the night at his sister's house. My kids never stayed the night. I would let them now because she's saved and like now she gets it. But like, I didn't know who was coming in and out of her house. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's like you have to know and have these conversations with your spouse of like, who is it? Do we keep them in because we want to minister? And just having those hard conversations, like how far is the hand if you need a handout? And it's just because a lot of the fights, especially coming up around the holidays, are around relationships. Yep. Okay, let's go. We're literally staying 30 minutes. I don't know what the conversation looks like, but it's very important. Does that make sense? You guys ever heard the term blood is thicker than water?
Yeah.
And then somebody like added to it, spirit's thicker than blood. Have you guys heard that? Oh, okay. Well, blood is actually blood covenant. And water is actually the water of the womb. So it's not talking about blood family. It's talking about blood covenant is thicker than family. That's what it's talking about. That's where it originated from. And so when somebody comes at you with that, now you know. It's the water of the womb that you came out of. Family versus blood covenant of Jesus is thicker than that, right? And so I know.
Sorry, we had to leave by 7, but now that I know the dynamic, I'm
so sorry. I'll have all the notes. Loved seeing you.
Got it.
Okay. No, no worries.
Hey, don't worry.
Glad you guys are here.
Bye.
See ya. Bye.
See ya. Aw, bye, sweetheart.
Bye.
So cute.
She's in now that I know the dynamic. Now that I know that Joe's not going to start on time.
That's what she meant.
Uh-huh.
So it's just another conversation to have with your spouse. What do relationships look like in our marriage? Yeah. Right? Having those hard conversations. You got anything?
No, it's good.
All right. So, okay, step 4, building. Oh, yeah.
Like, what's a healthy, like, friend group, like, in number? Like, if you would, like, what? Like,
oh, a number? I
mean, yeah, not that you have to, like, oh, you need at least 20. Like, not that you have to say, like, for example, like, us. Like, I know, right? It's like.
7.
This is good enough.
Is there, like, is there, like, a, like,
Here's my thing. I feel like we've had conversations similar to this in the past, and I feel like, and it's not necessarily relationships, it's more like leadership. So when you, as you guys like build teams with us, and you know, you can really only care, have you guys heard our CARE acronym? You can really only care good for 10 people. And the more we would have this conversation over the years, because this CARE acronym has been, that's so funny. We would think, oh, maybe Jesus was actually a genius, and that's why he had his 12. Like, it just seemed like anything more than like 10 to 12 was like too much. And I just think he's probably got something to it.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So we'll go with the Jesus answer, 12. But that was more like leadership stuff that we've talked about. So we got room for a few more, Sergio.
Yeah. It's like back to like the T-Mobile days when you had like your top like 3 or 5, whatever.
MySpace? Who had MySpace?
Yeah, you know, you got to call them for free in MySpace. Who's the top 10?
I think it's 6 or 8, yeah. Something like that.
I think you go through seasons.
It's yes, true.
That's good.
Because we've been married for 23 years and we've had people like, you know, leaders or just spiritual people.
Yeah.
And it comes to a season where they drift apart. And that's, and to us, and she says, well, because she says it's the Lord, just that it was that season for that people, yeah, that person, yeah, to be there.
It's true.
To lift you up. So it changes. Like the same friends we had 5 years ago, we don't have.
It's true.
Because they're all, it's different. They moved out of state or they just drift apart. It just, you know.
Yeah, seasons of life.
Yeah. And then also you start, you elevate yourself more. Like if you get in the Word and you start, and some people don't follow that. Some, yeah, people are not gonna, they're gonna go that way, or, yeah, or there's, you know, people they start judging you.
Yeah.
You know, we've been to, since I've been saved for 13 years, I wasn't, you know, because of my wife, but I was always, you know, I didn't, it's like, you know, I was, me and my good friend Carl, we, you know, our horns didn't fit through the door at one point. People, when we got saved, they were like, what? So I tell people, hey, anybody can say
anybody,
if you know, but it's those friends start leaving because you just, yeah, start changing.
That's right. Yeah.
And then we start, like you said, hanging around with other people that elevate you or like, you know, going through stuff.
That's good.
It doesn't, like you said, it's only about, you said five, but yeah, it's only about 5, 6, 7 people that you can say, I can call right now and say, hey, I'm having this,
yeah,
something's going on.
Yeah, one of the things that we used to say back at our church with like the men is like, who's that 2 a.m. dude that you got? That means when crap's in the fan at 2 a.m., you know you can call him. And he's going to see that phone like light up and like, oh yeah, I'm going to pick this up. This is my boy, you know? Because,
yeah,
it's healthy to get in that spot. Because Jesus had his three, you,
yeah,
know? And then he had his one. If you think, like he had Peter. Like Peter was who he said, I'm going to build the church upon you. Like Peter, like, I'm handing this off to you, man. Now you got to lead the dudes. And so for us, it's thinking about that. And then also being aware, Chrissy and I have had to have hard conversations with other couples when the couple is having issues and one of them starts listening to a friend that already went through a divorce. Because then they start, oh, it's not as hard as you think. It's not as bad. It's gonna actually help you out. You know, you just, listen, he doesn't deserve you. And it's like, so when you start having these people that are speaking negative about your spouse, run from that.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't want that toxicity in your life. It's like, again, maybe you've been best friends since grade school, but it's like, listen, but I married him. That's a covenant, you know? Like, you and I are just friends. That's a covenant.
Yeah.
I'm not breaking that. And so you got to get around people that are gonna be like, hey, we will bleed with you, sweat with you, cry with you, you know, like break down with you, and we'll figure this out together, you know?
Yeah.
Those are those people you're looking for.
But yeah, it fluctuates for sure. When you have little kids, you don't have any friends.
They're your friends.
It's so hard.
To what the brother was saying, I don't mean to like redirect it, but by nature, I'm a very social person, right? And Robert's very much an introvert. And for us, it's been a good balance. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm confident that God used that for,
yeah,
our good. But so me, if you'll let me, and I'm not embarrassed, I think you need to be really transparent. Like, I was like the life of the party. I was like from the window.
Oh, Carla's here. Come on.
I like backpacked Europe by myself. I was in Munich, like Oktoberfest. I was like, yeah.
To be clear, that was
pretty wild. She's like, that was like easy day. And I have a lot of friends that like, and I got married, like when we got married and I still down, I enjoy being a mom. But truly my two closest friendships now are two other moms, right?
Yeah.
That are sharing like the,
yeah,
same equal like struggle.
They get you.
And it's like, you know, I was like, oh, if I don't have like puke on my clothes today, it's call it a good day. But I have noticed that, like, God's just weeded out as my friends that I did used to party with. I never had a drug addiction, never had an alcohol problem. It wasn't ever, like, but it was just, like,
yeah,
we don't really have common ground anymore.
Yeah.
And for a very long period of time, I felt very lonely.
Mm-hmm.
I felt, like, struggling. I didn't want to be a lukewarm Christian, but I also felt very, like...
You're extroverted. You needed people.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, Lord, I'm just going to pray and let you then open new relationships,
yeah,
and new doors.
Yes.
And I struggle, like, is that going to change who I am? Is it going to change my identity, and it's been a process for me to shift, like, by, you know, to a new season in my life.
I can only imagine.
Well, and I feel like that doesn't only happen with, like, people that come from the world to, like, Christianity. I mean, I think that happens amongst believers too, because we've had a hard time like transitioning from, like, one church to another, because, like, we were at that church for 24 years, and now those friends that we had, they just, we don't really talk as much, because for whatever reason that is. So, like, I think it happens even with Christians, like, but I think it's also one of those things where it's like, there is toxic Christians as well that we have to, like,
just be aware of,
get rid of, you know. So it's something that happens just, like, in general, not only, like, you know, my friends from the world, I left them. No, like, there's some friends from church.
Oh, yeah.
Left them too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. Yeah. So it fluctuates.
And that does the same, like God said, he gives and takes away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's part of it.
Mm-hmm. It is. It really is. And just trusting the Lord in it. Like, those relationships are good for a season. He has other things ahead, you know?
And really, and too, you know, the scripture, you know, Proverbs, like, iron sharpens iron. Like, we want people in our life that's going to sharpen us, not make us dull. And what we have to, like, understand as Christians, as mature believers, is that sometimes we're going to have hard conversations with people in our life that aren't going to be comfortable. But when iron is grinding against iron, that's uncomfortable. It's not a pillow fight, you know? And what we have to do is be mature enough that when somebody else in our sphere of influence calls us out for something, that we don't get bitter, but we're like, okay, they see something I clearly don't see.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to look more like Jesus. And so if they see an area of me that looks like, you know, BC, you know, lifestyle, what do I need to change, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And really, and that's something, like, and you guys can help with this, like, as Vivid grows, we want that to be, like, culture. Like, we want to be correctable. That's from the top down, everywhere in between, you know? Like, we're trying to teach our kids, understanding you're going to be corrected. We're corrected, you know? Like, correction makes us better. When, if anybody has ever played sports before, like, you want the coach to correct you because you're like, I want to win the game. But then sometimes we get in Christianity and all of a sudden somebody corrects us when we get offended. It's like, no, like, they're trying to help you win the game, you know?
So, yeah.
And it's mostly, it's good. Like, you're talking about the Christians, you know, like a lot of believers, like, you know, if I was, I've been in different churches and, you know, when I was new to it and I question a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I research the stuff. She's like, man, you read, and I start getting into the word and then I question stuff and they're like, well, you just don't know yet. I'm like, well, no, wait a minute. This, it's in here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is what you're teaching, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, yes, but. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when she was like, well, I'm like, let's go find something else. That's why when we came, your first service, it was like, all right, okay. And then we text back and forth, and he's like, what do you like? I go, straightforward. He's like, well, I teach the Bible, and it's going to keep on like that. I'm like, okay, let's go.
Uh-huh.
Let's teach it.
So it's like I said, people, you call them out, and they're like, you know, we have friends that are believers that we were good friends.
Yeah.
And now we don't talk no more because of the same thing. There, people judge. They judge too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not here to judge. You're here to help somebody.
Yeah. Sure.
And
that's what
I love.
Yeah.
Sorry. And then I feel like
another
thing that the enemy uses against, like, us, you know, all of us who believe in Christ, you know, it's like when there is correction or there is a conversation, you know, it's like the spirit of offense comes in.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, absolutely.
And the enemy just wants to bring division. He doesn't want you to be engaged in a church. He doesn't want you to be connected to other believers, because at the end of the day, we know the word. If you ask for advice, we're going to give you advice from the Bible, not from what someone who doesn't know God would give you. You know, like, hey, well, like, well, I would do this. You know, it's like, well, it's not in the word, you know? So I feel like that often happens a lot, and I'm talking, like, I can relate, like, with family, you know, it's, like, hard when it comes to family, because, you know, it's, like, when we change, we become more like Christ, you know?
Yeah. I think we have a performance coming later.
We should totally going to have a performance.
When you have those hard conversations with them, it's, like, hard for that spirit to come in, you know, and then it's, like, they don't want to talk anymore, or you get, like, isolated, or they don't want to hang out, you don't get invited, but it's a good thing, you know,
it means you're going in the right direction.
You're right.
You know,
it's like, a narrow road.
It's a
narrow road.
I just thought that that was important to say, because that does happen. The spirit, like, try to come and, like, be like, oh, get offended. Like, they're judging you. Right?
Yeah.
It's like, it's all love in Christ.
These kids.
They agree.
They're singing a song.
And, you know, scripturally, again, what is so good, like, talking about, like, how you said judging others and how the people we want in our lives. In Matthew 7, when it talks about why you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye. And I love that he says, first take out the plank of your own eye. Then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So Jesus isn't saying
ignore it.
Ignore the what they're struggling
right.
with. Ignore what your brother or sister in Christ is struggling with. He's saying, no, first reflect in the mirror. What's going on inside your heart? What's going inside of you?
And what's mine?
Have you worked on this yet? To be able to help them, you know? Don't worry, guys, he's got a thick head. Anybody else have anything they want to say on that?
Like, I mean, this is like my perspective. Like, we can recognize iron. And I think that's the problem right now, too, is that, like, there's so many Christians that aren't iron, so it's hard to sharpen them. Like, because you're a pillow right now. Like, you're a Christian, but you're a pillow. Like, you're not even close to iron. That's what I think, like, with Pastor Joe, like, that, like, as a man, it's helped me so much to, like, want to become that iron, because I can see him and I know who he is and his passion for the Lord, and it just inspires me. And it's like Peter, you know, I just like, or like Paul, right? Like, you imitate me like I imitate the Lord. And like, that's like literally, like, those are the kind of people that we want to surround ourselves with, people that we know imitate the Lord. And we just want to be like, man, that man of God imitates the Lord, and that's exactly what I want to do. So it's like that passion, that fire. So it's like just hanging around people that can actually sharpen us, you know, mm-hmm. not make us dull. Mm-hmm. So it's like, and you can notice it.
We're not just hearers, but doers.
Come on.
Yeah.
100%.
See, all right?
It's just a little
cross. All right, so the next step, is that what you called that first one? Was that a step?
Yeah, there's steps.
Step, okay. So it was research and hire the building team. Okay, so who's around you? Next thing, clear the property, level the site, and prepare the foundation. Before you build a house, the land that you purchase must first be cleared and removed of any debris, vegetation, trees, bush, rock. Not only does debris on the surface need to be removed, but the root system needs to be pulled up to prevent regrowth.
Can anybody guess what this is? I thought it was pretty obvious.
Forgiveness. Mm-hmm. There's things in your past, from your relationship together, from
past
when you were past relationships, from dating, from things that have happened, and that if there hasn't been that true forgiveness, you know there hasn't been true forgiveness when that thing is still brought up. When there's true forgiveness, it's not brought up. When Jesus truly forgives us, when we say, God, I sinned, I fill in the blank, and we share that with him, he forgives us, he never brings that up again. He says, your sin is as far for the east as from the west. Guess what never touches each other? The east and the west. That's how far away it is. The problem is in marriage, a lot of times, we remember what they did to us. We have that trauma in our past. And that's why, again, Chrissy asked even earlier, what's your thoughts on counseling? Because if you know, man, I still have bitterness. I still have unforgiveness. I still fill in the blank. That you have to talk to somebody about that. And not yourself. Because sometimes the only person we'll talk to is ourself. And that just makes us more mad. Instead, it is. It's looking at, okay, what is the root from this? Where do I need to pull up these, you know, these rocks, these weeds, these, you know, clear everything out to see health in our relationship? And the thing is, I'm gonna offend Chrissy again. I'm gonna do something to bug her again. I'm gonna hurt her some way again because I'm not perfect. But I have to be mature enough and a man enough to confess my sin to her. One of the biggest things in marriages, and we've just seen it so many times with people, is that they just try to brush everything under the rug. Men usually it's like you're playing a drum, bro. No? That usually it's like, oh, she hasn't mentioned in a couple days, we must be cool. She's forgotten about it. I don't want to bring it up because that means we're just going to fight again. Not understanding that our spouse is waiting for us to bring it up because she's waiting for us to take the lead because she married a leader. And so we have to, and I'm telling you what, when we sin, men, and it gets uncomfortable, but we have to say, I did this. I've had so many uncomfortable conversations with her and seeing it break her heart, seeing her cry. Like, you hate it. But we have to be in that spot to say, I care more about this relationship than how this makes me feel. Because it's not about me. Because two become one. Mm-hmm. So I got to confess. I got to repent. I got to make it right. And that's even when we talk about, you know, marriage stuff, that even though you say I'm sorry, that doesn't mean that she can forgive you, but there are still consequences to our sin. It doesn't mean that, well, I said I'm sorry, why are you still mad at me? Like, no, I'm not mad at you, but there's hurt. You guys have heard this before, that trust is gained in ounces and lost in buckets. Yeah. And so when we sin against our spouse, it takes time to build that trust back up. But we have to, especially as Christians. Like, I shared it this past week, like, the foundational thing is, like, in Christianity, is we are forgiven of our sin by our Savior, by our Creator, by our God. And He expects us to forgive those who hurt us. Anything else you want to say that?
No, I just think that this week, just take some time. You know, you guys got kids, take some space. I wouldn't say go on a date, because that's not really a fun date. If you're going to talk about, like, some hard things. Yeah. I gotta get these to go, please.
Yeah.
But just like making a space, like a safe space. Mm-hmm. A safe space of like not pointing fingers, being very clear about language is very important. Like, this is how I felt. Not you did this to me. But this is how, like, when you said that, like, it kind of made me feel a certain way. You know, and just not saying you, but like, this is how I felt. He's adding some notes. And so make some space this week for that one. If there are some things that need to be brought back up.
And if there's the conversation too of you even saying like, hey, you know, Pastor Joe and Chrissy said this about the forgiveness. There's things I've wanted to talk with you with, but I feel like every time I bring it up, you're either, again, like what Chrissy just said, pointing the finger, or right away, like you're putting up a brick wall, right? Like I'm stonewalling. Have you guys heard that, you know, phrase before? Like I'm stonewalling. Like you're like, no, that's not me. That's it, you know, like this is just in your mind, you know? It's like, I want it to be a safe place where we can have this conversation. And maybe I'm wrong, but let's make it where we can actually have conversations and we're not just trying to fake it, you know? Because mm-hmm. Our kids see that too.
Yeah, this is the last one. Pouring the foundation, right? And this is kind of an easy one, but because we're all believers in here, I hope for everybody that God is your foundation, mm-hmm. right? And so just having those conversations, I don't know if I have anything else. It says, so your home will have either a slab foundation, a crawl space, or full basement poured of construction. The concrete will also go through a curing process to reach maximum strength. And I thought, what a good visual of like our relationship with God going through like curing, right? Making sure your guys' story. If you guys haven't heard their story, like take some time, have them tell you. That was a curing time, making sure that your foundation is solid. You know, we've all gone through hard times and allowing it to like build our faith, but like making sure you guys are on the same page with stuff like that. Okay, well, what happens when we're going to go through? Where are we going to run to? Right? Are we going to run to the Lord? You know what I'm saying?
And that's where, again,
I had some scripture.
Yeah, you did. Past traumas will come in. We naturally will want to run to what we used to run to. If you used to smoke weed, you'll want to run to that. Drank, you want to run to that. The strip club, you want to run to that. You know what I mean? Like porn, you'll want to run to that. Like when there are these things, like we'll, I'm telling you, because of the trauma And what we have to understand is that every time I make a conscious effort to say, this is what I used to run to, but instead I'm going to run with my spouse to Christ, we are rewiring our brain. And that's what we have to do. Because from all, no one's perfect. We all have issues from our past. And there's so many times that when Chrissy and I still have hard things, my natural instinct is to run, to get away, you know? And so even I have to fight that and say, no, I'm going to sit. I'm going to have the hard conversation. We're going to pray together. Even when you don't want to pray with them, right? It might be like, just Lord, help us. You know, like that's the prayer. It ain't going to be super spiritual, you know, like because you want to choke each other a little bit, you know, like you're squeezing hand a little tighter than you should be. And don't say, Lord, help Chrissy, you know, like it's not a time to pray over them, you know, Lord, help me.
So I think for this portion this week, if you guys don't already have, and even if you do, there's never enough scripture to like have your foundation on. If you need a scripture for your family, if you need scripture for your current situation, look up some scripture just to have for you guys to like stand on, right? And like I said earlier, like the curing process. Once you do have it all together, like trials are gonna come. And so, like, counting it all joy. Did you just preach on that? Counting it pure joy. We've been in James.
Yep.
And so, I think the kids like to tell us when we're done.
Yeah. Something else I would even add to that. Recently, I was talking to somebody, and... Oh, did he just spit up a little bit?
What you doing? Something over there?
I was talking with somebody, and them and their spouse got in an argument. And that night they went to bed and they both had dreams. And so even that, like being aware of like, as because we are believers. And so as the Holy Spirit speaking to us, he might be speaking to you in a dream to be able to create a space where you're going to have that conversation, that discussion and what that can look like and pray on it, you know, because the Lord, I'm telling you what, he wants your marriage to succeed. Yeah. He wants, like, God made marriage. Isn't that amazing? He didn't have to, but he made marriage and he wants it to succeed. I'm just waiting for him to try to like grab that
Don't
fish out
anything.
Of that bucket. You know, like I'm just watching him like he's going to puke in it or the fish is going to jump in his mouth. I don't know what's going to happen.
Don't
but,
give him ideas.
Yeah. But like Chris even said, even so this upcoming Sunday and just wrapping this up, unless you had.
Nope, that was the last one. I'll put all the notes on the thing again.
There is... you know, because it's a family service. So our kids will be in, this is going to be Sunday service. Like, it's going to be, I'm preaching fast and furious. So keep up with me. But I'm going to give some scripture that we need to speak over ourselves, as men speak over ourselves, as women speak over ourselves, and over our children, you know, especially with identity. And so even when there's those hard times in marriage, it's going back. And that's one of the things cool about this season right now is as you guys go home, it's like, what's a verse that I love? What's a verse that you love that we can say, hey, this is going to be our, you know, the verse for our marriage. So when those hard times come, we know what to go to. You know, so for Pastor Chrissy and myself, I need your help. You got to take one of these computers or the kid. You know, is Matthew 7:28. Where he says, walk with me in the Message translation. He says, walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace.
11:28.
Thank you. I thought that was sound wrong. I was like, that's wrong. And that's it. Because especially as men, sometimes we want to take charge. You know, we were talking about that, right? Yeah. Like, you just got like a job offer and he's like, well, why can't it start today? You know, like, why can't it start right now for his new business? And so it's like, no, what's God doing? God, what are you doing in our relationship? And so that's just like ours. And so it is. And even when we first moved out here and we were struggling financially, the Lord took me to Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and everything else will be added to you. And so we started doing that. I started seeking him very first in the morning, extended prayer time, Bible reading. And I'm telling you what, he was adding. So there's that peace, you know. Anyone else want to say anything?
Oh, well, just one thing, just be really village, I can't say the word, but just be careful at this time when you're starting to talk to each other. And like Pastor said, you know, God wants marriage to flourish, and this is the time where the enemy will attack you.
Absolutely.
And it will attack you for little things. you know, little things, and you know, you can be like together talking. It's just a little thing, but you know, and like you said, bring stuff back from the past or whatever. And because the enemy does not want this. Nope. Doesn't want couples being together, fellowshipping, talking about improving their marriage, improving people, bringing people to his name, you know, kind of like, you know, the worship songs, you know. Another one's been freed, you know, lost another one. And that's when people get, you know, we've been in groups where, like, couples have been like, wow, you know, they get into the it's bad with them because stuff comes out or something, and it's just, they're not, like, their foundation is not, like you said, in the Word, you know?
There's wisdom to that also, of the aspect of, if you are ever at a place where it's like, man, I got something I have to tell my wife, I have to tell my husband, I don't know how, there can be wisdom in obviously telling the pastor, having prayer about it, having a third party, you know, something, because it's like, we need that, you know? Because especially if it's something like super hard, super horrendous, you know, like, so yeah, just putting that out there. If you guys are ever like, man, I want to tell them, I just don't know how, or if you even have a friend, even being in your friend's corner, like, listen, we went through, you know, marriage stuff, we, you know, I'm here for you. If they want to have that conversation, I'm in it, you know, so.
And just to follow up on what you said, Joe, I think it was like 3 or 4 weeks ago, you, in your sermon, you were talking about the marriage vows, and what the pastor usually says at the end is, what God has witnessed, let no man put asunder. Devil's not a man. He's going to attack. He doesn't want it to succeed. And so you have to be wary.
Awesome. Let's end in prayer and we'll wrap it up.
Yeah.
Who wants to close us out in prayer?
Yes.
Go for it.
Dear Lord, we thank you, God, for, we just thank you for this opportunity to be here together, united as couples, Lord, and we just pray that even as we go through this small group, that we can see, Lord, how you've strengthened all of our marriages, Lord, at the end of this small group, that we're all going to be encouraged, Father God, our marriage is going to be better, and I just pray, Heavenly Father, that it starts with you being the foundation of our marriage, Lord, and I pray that if you're not right now, Lord, that you can begin to show us where we need to start putting you as our foundation, Father God. So we don't only have pieces of the foundation, but we have the whole foundation in you, Lord Jesus. And I just pray that a blessing over every couple that is here today, Lord, that you will continue to guard their marriage, protect their marriage, Lord, that no weapon formed against their marriage will prosper because they are protected by the blood of Jesus. And I just thank you for their lives, Father God, and I just pray that you will protect their children, Lord, and their children's children, Father God, and just continue to be with each and every one.